services over to me. I didn't necessarily plan it this way, but it just, when the chips fall, there we go. So that's you get to listen to me a little bit more here this morning. So again, I'd like to thank everybody for being here this morning, ready for another wonderful week that the Lord has given us. So thankful that we can start off each week being able to praise and worship Him and to be able to gather together and spend time with one another. It's such a great way to start off our week. So here we are at the end of October. Where's October gone? I don't know, but it's about gone already. I've already heard a few people talk about that. Again, where's fall going? Yesterday, it was very cold and rainy and windy, and it's a sign of things to come. But when we think about the end of October, what's usually going through everybody's mind, at least what the stores are trying to tell you what's going on, right? It's Halloween time. So for the last 2 months, you've seen candy and costumes and everything on the shelves, but here they are, and it's Halloween time. We got parades coming. You're probably getting all your things ready to go for the trick-or-treaters coming here later this week. I know there's some Halloween parades going on. I think one today in Wood River, and then the other one's going on throughout the week. So it 'tis the season for trick-or-treating. So what's one of the things you see? You see a lot of costumes and a lot of masks that, you know, that people have. And that's, you know, that's always fun. Whatever it is, some cartoon characters or whatever it is the kids wear, you know, it's kind of silly and goofy and stuff. But or some people wear the scary ones, right? It's funny how Halloween can be, you know, fun and all kitty things, and then some people really take it to the scary extreme. Whatever your thing is with Halloween, that's great. But it usually involves some kind of costume and some kind of mask, right, to hide yourself, you know, so nobody can tell maybe who you are. You've got that mask on. It's mysterious, all those kind of things. But why do you wear the mask? Again, to conceal your identity, you know, you're disguising, you're hiding, it's deception, all that kind of thing. So again, if it's a scary thing, you know, you're trying to freak people out with that mask. So again, when I do lessons, I tend to incorporate what's going on, at least with either holidays or the time of things. So where are we going with this? What about these masks? Well, I think Wesley saw that and he's like, that's kind of spooky. And it's funny because sometimes just a simple little mask like that can actually be spooky. But so let's think about this in our Christian life. And again, I want to throw this out there now. I'm not talking about any specific person, people, or anything. But I think you all know in your life, you know, people that you've had to deal with, that are they just wearing a mask? Now, again, we're not talking about physical masks anymore. We're going to transition into a personal metaphorical mask here of they're really kind of hiding their true self. And so that's my question I want to put out there this morning for us to think about. Is that, are you just wearing a mask? Or you need to be beware of those who might just be wearing masks? Because there's a lot of that going on around us and maybe within us as well. And I'm just going to touch on a few points, a few of these masks that we might be wearing or others might be wearing, that these shouldn't be masks. These should be part of our life, all right? Because sometimes things are just on the surface. And sometimes when we're trying to live a Christ-like life, like the songs that we sang already this morning, again, my point at the Lord's table and with those songs is these things shouldn't be just on the surface. They should be in your heart. They should be who you are. But unfortunately, a lot of times, they are just on the surface. And they're really sometimes a deception of who you really are. And that shouldn't be. The things we're going to talk about are things that you should have in your heart It should be who you are as a Christian. So, let's talk about this first one. Let's talk about a mask of thankfulness. Now again, after this holiday, we have Thanksgiving. And so a lot of people choose that time to be thankful for things, whether it's, you know, the physical things they have, or maybe take it a step beyond and we think about the spiritual things. Again, this should be something we're thankful for all the time, not just one time. But when we think about being thankful, you know, we're feeling or expressing gratitude or being very appreciative. Now, these are all things that, again, we should be that way every day of our life. We should be thankful for the air that we breathe, right? The life that we have. We can take and make one step in front of the other one, where there's some people that can't even do that, right? So, again, whenever we think we don't have anything to be thankful for, we need to think again. We need to be thankful for all that we have. But again, that needs to come from our heart. Because there's a lot of people, they may have that mask of thankfulness on, but truly, they're very unappreciative for what they have. Maybe always complaining about things. That shouldn't be us. We should not be unappreciative or criticize everything, every little thing, always looking to criticize, or just have a general air of apathy around you. Eh, I just don't care. Meh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got that. Meh. That's all right. Again, these are things that you may have that mask. Oh, yeah, I'm thankful for that. But deep down, if you have some of these characteristics, you're just wearing a mask. And this thankfulness is not in your heart. So beware of these things. I have a few scriptures for us to consider when we think about being thankful. Colossians 3, 16 through 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And how are we to do that? With thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When we teach, when we sing, when we do, how do we do it? We do it with thankfulness in our heart. All that we do, have that as part of your heart. I'd like to go back to Psalms for a couple of other scriptures here. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever, for great is your steadfast love toward me. You know, when we really think about what all God has done for us and the love that has been shown for us, how can we not have thanks in our heart? And to be able to express that thanks to God. And in Psalm 105, 1 through 3, O give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. So not only do we inwardly be thankful for all the Lord has done for us, but we want to share that with everybody else, don't we? Again, if that thankfulness is coming from our heart, we want everybody to know it. We want to be able to show that. We're not hiding behind a mask of thankfulness. Being thankful is who we are, and people are going to see that. Make known His deeds among the people. When we can show that attitude and that personality of being thankful, people are going to see that and realize that just he's not just saying that. He really means it. So my point with this, don't wear a mask of thankfulness. Don't have an attitude of being unappreciative for things or apathy or criticizing, but have thankfulness as being a part of you, being a part of your heart, expressing that to God, and expressing that to everybody else that you're around. Another mask to be aware of is a mask of joyfulness. Ah, you ever done that? Sometimes, maybe. You know, you're just having a rough go of it, and you just kind of put that mask on of being just that happy person. Because why? Well, Tim, he's the happy guy. He's always happy. He's always got a smile on his face, right? I don't know if you say that about me. I don't know. But maybe you know somebody like that. But maybe that's just a mask. Because deep down, they might be hurting or whatever it might be. But it's something to be aware of and watch out for, because that can be trouble. And when we think about being joyful, you know, its feelings are expressing gladness. You're delighted. You're happy. And you're full of joy. When you think about joyfulness, you're full of joy. Again, not just something that's on the surface. You're full of joy. But again, if that's just something you wear on the surface, well, deep down, you could be discouraged. You could be sad. You could be troubled about something. Or generally just be unhappy. But if you're just wearing that mask of joyfulness, how are others around you going to be able to really help you and maybe console or comfort you whenever you may be feeling discouraged or sad or unhappy or maybe troubled about something? If you're hiding your true self behind a mask or a wall that sometimes people put up, again, you're not showing your true self. And again, without showing that, how can people help you? If I just come in here all the time, hey, how you doing? And again, this is the easy answer, right? Oh, doing great. Everything's great. Well, is everything really great? Sometimes my dad, he'll sneak it in on somebody when somebody asks him how it's going. Very poorly, thank you. Yeah, right? And sometimes that just goes right over, because you're not even sometimes even listening to the answer, right? You're just expecting the old, oh yeah, everything's good, I'm fine. You know, it doesn't hurt to let people see you're hurt sometimes, right? Because again, at least here, we're here to help each other and be a family. So beware of that mask of joyfulness. We need to have joyfulness in our hearts and to be able to show that. But sometimes we have troubles and trials. So don't let that overwhelm your heart with that kind of sadness, with that kind of discouragement. Because if you don't let people help you, those things can take a hold of your heart. Then you won't have joyfulness in your heart, because you're going to be struggling so much and you're going to be trying to tackle that by yourself. And there's just some things you can't tackle by yourself. You need help and you need encouragement from your friends, your family, your loved ones. So keep that in mind. Don't just wear a mask of joyfulness on the surface. Have that joy in your heart. Whenever other things are trying to get in the way of that joyfulness in your heart, you know what? Let people know that. Seek the help that you need to get that back. A few verses to consider. Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine. Hey, a lot of people take a lot of medicine to get out of depression and things like that. Sometimes a joyful heart can be the best medicine. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. If you continually try to suffer with and deal with the unhappiness and the troubleness and the discouragement that you may have to deal with without trying to get that joy back in your heart, it can just crush you. And I don't want to see that happen to anybody. I want to be able to help. Let others help you. James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials of all kinds. Huh? Really? Count it joy to meet these trials? Well, yeah. Sometimes we all have to go through trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And then, let that steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You see how all that works together? Yep, we all have to face trials, but sometimes there's a purpose for those trials. That's going to produce the steadfastness that we need. And that steadfastness, to have its effect, is going to help us be a complete person. But again, if things are just on the surface, right, it's not a part of your heart, this joy, counted a joy, is it really going to be able to have its full effect? To really sink in and to be able to help you to the point that it can completely help you to be that complete person. 1 Peter 1, 3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power and being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We all have to deal with things in our life, but we need to have faith. Christ is there for us. We haven't seen Jesus, but we have faith that he's there. And we love him. And we know that he loves us. When we can realize that, no matter the trials that we face, we can have a joy in our heart that it says is inexpressible. You know, we can express a lot of things with words, especially if you're a really good wordsmith. You know, you can come up with all sorts of ways to describe things. But when we think about the joy that should be in our hearts as a Christian, if Christ is stamped on our heart, that can be a joy that you can't even describe. Like we tried to describe heaven. You know, we can only do it with words that we know here, but it's joy unexpressible. The joy will be in heaven, but the joy that we can have here in our hearts, if Christ is stamped on our heart, again, a joy that's just not on the surface, but is a part of you. It's who you are. It's a joy inexpressible. And I just like how that's phrased. So again, don't just wear a mask of joyfulness, but have it as part of your heart. That's who you are. Another mask to consider is a mask of forgiveness. When we think about being forgiving, when we think about, sometimes I always go back, you know, to a bank situation when they forgive a debt or grant a pardon to something. But that's what's been done for us. The debt has been paid when we talk about that forgiveness. We think about sometimes in our personal life, you know, we cease to feel a resentment against somebody. You know, if we truly forgive, we don't just say, yes, I forgive you, but still kind of hold that to them a bit, you know. You ever had that happen? Yeah, sometimes maybe. Or that's gone against you maybe. Somebody still kind of feels that resentment because of whatever that situation was. Or they may still kind of hold you accountable or blame you for something. Well, to me, again, it sounds like a mask that might be there. If you say you're forgiving or you forgive somebody, you know, holding on to that blame, that's not forgiving. No, it's not. Or if you're looking to have almost having to still punish somebody, you know, you might still be jabbing them down the road. About, yeah, you remember that one time when you did that one thing? You ever heard that? Maybe. I think I have in one form or another. You're not forgiving. You're still poking somebody with that. Or you're not going to show any mercy to somebody. You know, that again, these are masks that people wear. Beware. Don't you wear that kind of mask. When you forgive with your whole heart. Not just on the surface, right? A few verses to consider. Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Very familiar when we talk about forgiveness. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I like that. That's what you should do. Ah, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's serious. All right? Don't take that lightly. You need to be forgiving. Because if you're not forgiving, and that forgiveness is coming from your heart, I don't want to be in that kind of standing with God. Right? If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I really couldn't think of a better verse to put here. Because we talk about just having forgiveness on the surface. When I need God's forgiveness, I don't need that on the surface. I need that every day of my life because I make mistakes every day. And I don't want God's forgiveness to just be just kind of a flippant thing, but yet he's still holding that against me. Or looking to keep that blame or punish me, all right? I want that forgiveness to be as he promised that forgiveness to be wiped away. Colossians 3, 12 through 13. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. These are all things that are going to go with forgiveness. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Again, I put this verse here because, again, sometimes when forgiveness is just on the surface, you don't have a lot of these other things. Being compassionate, having a compassionate heart. Or kindness, or humility, or meekness, or patience, or bearing with one another. Those things might not be there. They need to be there. So again, thinking about those that might have this mask of forgiveness, this is not acceptable to God. Jesus actually gave us a really good parable when we think about this idea of being forgiving. And not just having it on the surface. And I'd like us to read that one. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times, or the 70 times seven, however your version might read. You need to keep doing it. Be forgiving. Have it come from your heart. And then the parable, therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Keep going. Nope. There should be another slide there, and I don't know where it went. So if you're there, keep reading, and I'm going to read to you because I have it down. So starting in verse 28, but when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So this fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." Well, what happened? He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. The moral of the story is, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother, where? From your heart. Not on the surface, but from your heart. This parable really sets it out and gives us, at that time, a real example. But this example applies now. Whether it's about money or stuff or whatever it is. You can't beg God for forgiveness and then turn around and not forgive others when they ask for that same forgiveness from you for whatever it was. Do it from your heart. Don't let that be a mask that you wear. But have that forgiveness come from your heart. So I've already shown you this slide. Beware of a mask of kindness. You know anybody that wears masks of kindness? I work with a lot of them, I think, sometimes. I don't know. Sometimes you just don't know. But when we're trying to be Christ-like, that shouldn't be a mask we're wearing. That kindness should be coming from our heart. Talk about being kind. We're friendly, good-natured, compassionate, considerate, helpful, loving, fill in the blank. All these things, we should be kind. Have that kindness, again, coming from our heart. Not just on the surface, where we're pretending to be kind, but deep down, you know, we're hateful. You ever know hateful people? I know a few hateful people. Inconsiderate, or just plain mean. Cruel or harsh. Those are things that shouldn't be in your heart. And you're just on the surface appearing to be kind. So beware of wearing this mask of kindness because you don't want those other things as part of your heart that what really makes you up. A few verses to consider here. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, and then reaching back to what we just talked about, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We talk about forgiving, we need to be kind and tenderhearted when we do that forgiving. Again, not holding a grudge against somebody with that forgiveness, but being kind to one another and tenderhearted, showing that compassion that I just talked about. Because we need that from one another. Because again, we all struggle with things. So to have that kindness and compassion for one another coming from your heart, that's what really can help one another. Proverbs 11:17, a man who is kind benefits himself. It's beneficial for each one of us to have kindness in our heart and not have anger and malice and hatefulness just bubbling up inside of us. You're benefiting yourself from being kind to each other. But a cruel man hurts himself. Yeah, it does. When you have that cruelty as being part of your heart, you start to become that, just an angry person. And I don't want to see anybody be an angry person. Because again, I do see that with people. And it's not a good thing. They're just angry all the time. You don't want to be angry all the time. Have that kindness in your heart. Proverbs 21:21, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. Not only being kind, but pursue it. Pursue that kindness. Again, have that part of your heart. To the point, even when we go to the New Testament in Galatians 5:22, this is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, these are things definitely you want to have as part of your heart as being a Christian. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All these things should be a part of you. Don't just skip past kindness. Have kindness in your heart. Don't let that just be a mask that you're just hiding behind. And you have anger and wrath and malice in your heart. Be kind to one another. And the last mask I want to talk about here this morning is a mask of holiness. When we talk about being holy, we're talking about being dedicated or devoted to God and godly things. Devout, pure. And we think about being devoted and dedicated. If you're really those things, that can't be on the surface. That does not fit the definition. If you're just wearing a mask of holiness, you're really not dedicating your life, your heart to Christ. It's just on the surface. It's just words. It might just be empty actions. It needs to be from the heart. Because if you don't have that holiness as part of your heart, then words like impure or corrupt come into play. And I don't want a corrupt heart. I want a pure heart that's devoted to Christ, holy and acceptable. I want to devote my heart and my life to Christ. Not just a mask that I'm pretending to be something and somebody I'm not. When I say I'm a Christian, I want that to come from my heart and not just words that come out of my mouth. A few verses to consider here. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16. Therefore, preparing your minds for action, being of sober minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Again, not just on the surface, but be holy in all that you do, all that you say, all that you feel. Ephesians 4:24, and put on the new self. Put it on. It's part of you. Created after the likeness of God. Christ-likeness in true righteousness and holiness. Again, don't just let this be on the surface. Don't wear a mask of Christianity. Put it in your heart. Devote your life to Christ. Don't fall into the trap of just having that on the surface. Because for God to dwell in your heart, that's not just a mask. You've got to devote your heart to Him. A few verses to wrap things up, and then the lesson will be yours. The scripture Sean read for us this morning, the scripture reading, Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Each one of the things I've talked about here this morning is in this set of scriptures. Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Everything we talked about is summed up right here. So, as I begin to give this lesson to you here, as we sum up, I think you can probably picture some people that you know in your life, whoever it might be, that some of these masks might be present in their life. I implore you to search your hearts, to search your life, and to make sure you're not wearing one of these masks. Things that are just on the surface, being thankful, being joyful, being forgiving, being kind, being holy. Don't let those things just be on the surface. Have them in your heart. Stamp them on your heart. Because you don't want that to be just on the surface. And when it comes time for judgment, God's going to pull that mask off. And He's going to know what's behind that mask. Don't put yourself in that position. You come to God with your full heart. And you want all these things as part of your heart. For God to see, for others to see. You can be more effective to teach others if all these things are part of your heart and just not on the surface. Because when it really comes down to it, if you're wearing one of these masks, you're not deceiving God. You're just deceiving yourself. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You think you might be trying to pull the wool over somebody else's eyes. You're just deceiving yourself if these things are just on the surface. And if you think you're deceiving God, think again. He will not be deceived. Galatians 6, 7 through 8, do not be deceived. You're fooling yourself here. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. If these things are just on the surface, you're just sowing to the wind. But they need to be in your heart. God will not be fooled. You're just fooling yourself. In the last verse, Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. God will not be deceived. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give account. There's no hiding behind a mask here. God's word will cut right through that. God knows the intents of your heart. Nothing's hidden from his sight. So, again, I implore with you. I know it's fun with trick-or-treating and Halloween to wear a mask. And put those on and pretend maybe you're something you're not. You're scary this, or you're a princess that, or whatever it might be. But when it comes to our Christian life, you're not wearing a mask. Don't wear a mask, because you're not deceiving anybody but yourself. You're sure not deceiving God. So, as the invitation is extended here this morning, you need to make sure you're living for Jesus with your whole heart. And if you have slipped away in your life, and you feel like, you know what, I am maybe just putting on a front here. And instead of having a Christ-like heart, I'm letting that slip away. And I have some of these other things in my heart that shouldn't be there. Get those things out of there. Don't put on a false front. Put on Christ fully in your heart. And if you haven't put on Christ, you haven't accepted Christ and been baptized into Christ, you need to do that now. Make your life right. Because now is the time to do that. So the lesson is yours. Whatever your needs are, I ask that you please live for Jesus as we're going to sing. Let's stand and sing.